Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast.
Everybody, welcome to Bois, King of the Hill podcast. I'm Mike.
And I'm Rusty.
Rusty. Season 5, episode 17, otherwise known as 5ABE18.
Yeah, it's 18 in the production numbers.
Not easy being green.
It is not easy being green, which according to the artifacts is a title is in reference to Kermit the Frog.
Yeah.
It's not easy being green.
Hey, man, that's pretty close.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I've been listening
good.
To Patrick Mahomes. I've been practicing listening to his voice.
All right, so we start this one up. Boomhauer is out in the by the way, no bell, no yell.
We're out. And I think this is where we actually get introduced to Sally.
Oh, yeah.
Boomhauer's yeah, the first ride, time. Yeah.
The Mustang. Boomhauer's out shining up his car. I'm assuming this is, it looks like a Charger or a...
It's a specific vehicle, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's either a Charger or a, what's the other one, the other Dodge? Challenger. It's
Coronet.
It's one of those.
I think it's a Coronet.
Really? Well, it's long and kind of slender. You know, it doesn't have the big butt like a,
oh, no,
like
it,
a Charger
it, it,
would have.
Okay, so I had to go look it up. So it's a 1965 Ford Mustang.
Oh, it is?
The fastback Ford Mustang.
Oh, it's a fastback.
Yeah.
Okay. So I owned a 64 and a 65 Mustang.
Oh, okay.
They weren't fastbacks.
But they were, I mean, they were decently fast. I'm
well, the 64, it was a 64 and a half, and it was yellow, like this real pale yellow, though.
Yeah.
I let my cousin drive it, and he cracked the block. So
he was out there dogging it.
Well,
hot dogging.
He's dogging it and not changing the oil is what he was doing.
Oh man!
Anyway, cracked the block and then mine was a 67. I think I said 65, but it was a 67. Fully restored it, candy apple red, black vinyl top.
Oh wow!
Had the automatic antenna that came up when you turned the radio on.
Yeah.
Fixed all the holes in the floorboard. All this. I mean, we redid the whole thing, and then I totaled it. The problem is, if it's something that old, they automatically total it when it's in a
even if it's a fender bender.
Yeah,
even a fender bender, they total
it. And
right,
so they totaled it. They paid it. We fixed it back up, and then I totaled it again. So
totaled
that car twice. But I had wrecked five cars by the time I was 21. So
five cars. I've actually not wrecked that many cars at all in my life. I've had...
I was just in them all
I've had
time,
two wrecks where I was the driver.
Yeah.
One wasn't my fault, one was. Actually, three wrecks where I was the driver, including one recent one. So I was in a wreck in June in the work van.
Mm-hmm.
I got I was changing lanes.
Driving around? The thing where you go from city to city?
Yeah. So I was on my way back from Austin, and I was on the access road, and I was changing lanes, and there was a guy that was going a little bit too fast, so I didn't see him in my mirrors. I was changing lanes, and he just came up on me real quick and hit me on the side. And then... The other two I was in, one I broke my leg in.
Oh, wow.
I was 17. It was in high school. I was driving one of my parents' friends' cars. I was actually driving somebody on a beer run. They couldn't drive.
Yeah.
So I was taking them to the store. Then on the way back, somebody ran a red light and hit me into a pole, and it broke my left leg. But the non-weight-bearing bone in the lower part of my leg, it was an unusual
bone. Oh, so like the extra little, the two bones down there, like on a flap of a chicken wing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I never had to have anything but a walking boot. So I was just in a walking boot for 6 weeks.
They call them flaps?
The wishbone?
Like, well, no, they call them...
I don't know what that bone's called.
Like when you break a chicken wing apart, you know, and fry it for like buffalo wings, there's the...
The marrow?
Flaps and the drums?
Oh,
or
drums
something like
and
that.
Flats. Yeah. Flat.
Yeah. Flats. That's it.
The flat.
You got it.
I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
I got you. The flats, yeah.
The Mustang, I was driving back from a pool where I had gone with this girl that I liked, and I was trying to get fresh in the pool. I didn't succeed.
Yeah.
And we came back, and this lady had a – this was a long time ago. So this lady had a baby in the front seat. Didn't have everything buckled in.
As usual.
The bottle fell. She turned and bent down to pick up the bottle at the same time right in front of me, and bam.
Oh,
so
no.
So we hit that, yeah.
Those wrecks back then must have been kind of gnarly, too.
Well,
no safety.
In a car like that, though, you know, at least it's a lot of steel, like actual
steel.
Yeah, you know,
cars just crumple now like cans,
Those were big cars. All right, so Boomhauer is out shining up his fastback Mustang out in the alley. The guys are watching. Dale says, you know what your classic car needs to stand out at the classic car show? Me. Spread eagle on your hood. And then he puts his hands on his hood and starts waving his ass around at him like he's some kind of showgirl.
No diddy.
He says, hauling ass, huh? And then Boomhauer, man, get your dang thing, nicotine stain too, man. And Bobby rides up on his bicycle. He says, this car looks like it was made before 1980. Hank says, oh, good eye, Bobby. When'd you become such a car nut? Bobby says, Wednesday,
yeah.
When I found out that cars built before 1980 are responsible for most of the pollution in the air. Sorry, I'm going to have to write you a ticket, Mr. Boomhauer. He literally writes him a ticket, which I don't know how they did this, but he writes a ticket, and then he gets on his bike and just rides off like he's a freaking cop
out
or
there.
Something.
Yeah.
He's
got something down the road he's got to deal with.
Hank picks up the ticket and says, he's reading it, says, you have been ticketed by the environmental court, Tom Landry Middle School. What the? And then Dale says, I know, you should appeal that all the way to the high school. Joseph issued me one of those yesterday for pouring used motor oil down the kitchen sink, fascist. Used motor oil, kitchen sink.
Well, you know, I can understand.
That one's a little rough.
Pouring it, you know, outside somewhere in the dirt or something like that. Even though you're not supposed to.
I don't
to,
know what the hell you're supposed to do with stuff like that. Like,
there's actually proper methods of disposal.
Where are they putting it?
Some people recycle it into biofuel, like a type of fuel for their vehicles.
Well, yeah.
So there's those guys that take
like
any type of
oil.
Stuff,
any, I don't know
yeah,
about
any type
motor
of oil.
Oil.
Some of them do
really?
Any type of oil. They'll take it and they have I think it's just like a modified diesel engine, and they run that motor oil stuff.
I've never really known what to do with like used motor oil and used paint. Like
I don't
know
what they do.
Oh my
god,
they'll get onto you with used paint.
I honestly don't know what they do with it, but there is a recycle process for it. I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure.
I don't know what that process is because I don't. I usually get my oil changed at a place.
Yeah.
Or just don't change
it
at all.
I don't change my own anymore.
I think it's been about 5 years on the Toyota.
Yeah. When all the kids were in the house, I mean, I would change everybody's oil and stuff because it was
just
cheaper.
Yeah, it is cheaper.
It was easier. Plus,
especially when you've got so many vehicles
you
have to do it for. If you got like four vehicles at a time, you got to do it for them.
We had 3 to 5 vehicles in the driveway at all times.
Yeah.
All right. So we're back in the Hill House. It's nighttime. Bobby is digging through the kitchen trash. He says, oh, D-cell in the garbage. Oh, yes. Mom, I'm going to have to write you a ticket for not taking this to an approved battery recycling center. 2 more tickets and I get an A in history. That sounds like a
quota. I'm
not
sure what that has to do with history.
It just sounds like a quota.
It does sound like a quota, yeah.
Hank comes walking in and goes, now, what the heck does annoying your mom and Boomhauer have to do with history? Bobby says, Mr. McKay says history is past, but saving the earth is our present to the future. God, that's terrible.
That is pretty rough.
Hank just like, ugh. He hates that
Yeah,
kind
he
of
doesn't
stuff.
Like that stuff. He doesn't like it.
Peggy pops up and goes, Bobby, I will have you know I consider myself to be one of the great environmentalists of my time. She opens the bottom cabinet door and she goes, I have a plastic grocery bag filled with plastic grocery bags that I will bring back to the grocery store one day. And Bobby says, sorry, just gives her a ticket and walks off.
Anyway. Is that a thing?
Well,
for
yeah.
grocery bags?
Yeah, you can. Like HEB here in our area, if you take them a bunch of like those plastic garbage bags or the plastic
truck. Yeah, the HEB sacks.
HEB bags, they'll take them back. Yeah,
yeah, but then what would you use for your like little living room trash can or your little bathroom trash can?
I guess more trash bags, which doesn't make any sense to me because it seems like I'm recycling it if I use it for a trash bag.
Yeah, well, I think it's multi-purpose. I always like to. What else do you do with a Walmart sack? Are you not throwing away trash while you're in the living room? Do you not open a beef jerky stick and need somewhere to put your trash? Or blow your nose on a napkin and need somewhere to put your trash?
I take everything to the kitchen, but I do get in trouble because I leave trash around a lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, so now we're at Strickland Propane. They're having a big barbecue sale because you can see the banner. Hank is placing products just right, and he's got the mustard over there, and he's just like turning it and getting it just right so it looks really good. Buck comes in. Hank, those hobos are going through our garbage again. Hank says, accidentally throw away one regulator valve, and now you're the talk of the freight yard.
I imagine they recycle pretty well.
He goes outside, and Bobby and a bunch of kids are going through their dumpster. Bobby's like, oh, here's a phone book. And Hank comes out and goes, what the? Bobby, shouldn't you be in school? He says, I am in school. And it kind of pans out, and the entire class is there. Like every one of the kids in the class, they're there with little pads, and they're digging through trash and stuff. He goes, history with Mr. McKay. Mr. McKay comes up. He is in a brown, and when I say brown university sweatshirt, it is from Brown University. It's not a brown shirt. And this is Paul Giamatti doing Mr. McKay's voice.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I love Paul Giamatti. I think he's very good. If you've never heard of his podcast, you need to go find it. It is.
I didn't know he had a podcast.
It's wild because he talks about like Bigfoot and UFOs and all kinds of weird shit.
Oh, okay. But the Wicker Man, right? Isn't that him, Paul Giamatti? He was a playwright, actor, director.
Oh, Paul Giamatti is the one I always remember from Sideways. Sideways is a great movie.
Oh, okay. So this is a different Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, probably so. Yeah, Paul Giamatti's the bald one. He's in a ton of stuff.
That guy. Yeah. Yeah, I know who he is.
Sideways,
now.
Great movie.
Giamatti. I thought he said Giovanni.
Oh, Giovanni.
Yeah, Giamatti. No, yeah,
that's
I
our
know
local
Paul
filmmaker, Giovanni.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, so Mr. McKay says.
Also, Bois Guest. He was on one. That's right. For the cigarette episode, I believe.
Mr. McKay says, this pizza box is recyclable. The crust is compostable. And the cheese. Ooh, don't get me started on the cheese. Hank says, so you're the Mr. McKay Bobby keeps talking about. I guess I pictured a woman. I don't know what that means, but
I think he would expect a woman to be more liberal about recycling than a man, I guess.
Yeah. Mr. McKay says, Bobby's told me a lot about you and how you flush your urine, whether you've also left feces or not. And that, I don't understand. How is that a part of your history class, whether you're flushing your pee or not?
Yeah, I don't understand how, I can understand talking about like, climate in a historical sense,
sure.
But that's like collegiate level history stuff. Yep. Not like you're talking high school history and they're talking about recycling and stuff.
That's
like that.
Environmentalism.
Yeah, that's
right?
More
mean,
like environmental
really history.
Environmental science is what that would be.
Yeah. But anyway, he asked Hank about flushing his feces. Hank says, "What? You discussed this in school? Look, if you care so much about the environment, why don't you teach these kids about clean burning, energy efficient propane? Clean burning propane." He goes, oh, that's funny. You see, propane grills just perpetuate the whole culture of backyard barbecues, plastic forks, paper plates, meat. And the way he says meat, he's like, meat.
And I imagine he's probably a vegan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hank has the best response. He goes, I've sold three grills today. I've sold
today.
Three grills today using those exact same words, but with a more positive attitude.
Yeah.
Bobby says to Mr. McKay, don't worry, I know where he lives. So now we're back at the Hill House at night. We're in bed again with Peggy and Hank. Hank is kind of pacing back and forth because this is really bugging him. Finally sits down, starts taking his socks off, and he says, and there's a summons to appear in the middle school's environmental court. You can't just put something in a mailbox without a stamp. That's a federal offense.
Which Artie had a little artifact, which is it's a crime it's a to mess with anybody's offense. Mailbox. It actually is. So
it is.
I worked for a delivery company called Lone Star Overnight or whatever it was. For a little while, and that was one of the things they taught you in, like, the little training. Well, it's not really training. They just tell you, hey, you can't put stuff in mailboxes. And I just didn't understand it because, you would have people that would like have like a little sign that they have a massive mailbox,
sure.
so you could put stuff in it. But the actual law is the only people that can touch mailboxes are stamped properly, yeah. you know, addressed what? Stuff, or if it's a licensed United States Postal Service.
It's so
worker.
Weird to me now. Mail. My wife gets onto me all the time because I.
We got a mailman that's one of our fans. Yeah, he's a mailman here in town.
I gripe about the mail all the time, and no offense to our mailman.
Yeah, no offense to our mailman.
I'm gonna tell
specifically,
you what my issue is. Number one, like today is Sunday.
Today is Sunday,
and we got a package from Amazon. That makes no sense to me. Because
from the Postal Service?
I don't know.
Well, see, that's the thing is the Postal Service now does contracts with Amazon, so you'll see postal workers working out of the normal postal hours.
The issue for me is that I think the Postal Service is outdated and needs to be shut down.
Okay.
I don't see any sense in it. They seem to do three times the work that Amazon and DHL and FedEx and all those folks do, UPS. By the way, those are all private companies. The Postal Service is seen as a federal company, but it's not. It's actually private.
Yeah, it's private.
But they get federal funds.
It's federally funded.
It makes no sense to me. Every single year, they say that the stamp is not enough. They're going to have to go up. Why don't you just charge me $1 for a stamp, and we'll be done for a while? You know, just charge me $1.
Yeah.
And then what I see now is I'll see postal trucks, you know, and like you say, they have deals with like Amazon or whatever. They're delivering 7 days a week, and sometimes they come to my house twice. I'm like, this is not the most efficient use of these vehicles and these people.
No, probably not.
It doesn't make any sense. It's so mixed up. Close the
Postal
Service.
Yeah, it's a crazy system.
Paul Giamatti, get on that. Close the Postal Service. All right, so he's grapping about it. It says it's a federal offense. Peggy says, Hank, it is no big deal. I was in and out of court in 5 minutes. Hank's like, what? You actually went? She said, I work at that school. I cannot afford to have any blemishes on my record. Come on, do it for Bobby. Hank, this could be the first A he got since he was in the same math class as that Bobby Hall, and he brought home the wrong report card.
Yeah.
They have such a low bar for Bobby.
Yeah, he's...
All right.
No bar, not even a low bar.
It's just no bar. Bobby, don't worry about that bar. We took it down. Now it's the next day. We're at Tom Landry Middle School. Hank is being sworn in the classroom, which is insane. There's a girl holding a book, and he's got his hand on it. He goes, so help me God. Oh, this isn't a Bible. It's a Harry Potter book. And the girl says, we're not allowed to bring in the Bible to school. I just thought that was a great joke.
I think it's funny that people always, I think that's one of the things where people complain that they're taking God out of schools and stuff like that.
Yeah.
When this show is, we're in the early 2000s and there were moments of silence and stuff like that.
But I think it's
funny that they said you can't bring the Bible to school. That's never been a thing in Texas.
Dude, I got to tell you, in Texas,
I used to take my Bible.
God is still in the school.
Yeah, I used to take my Bible to school all the time whenever I was a believer, you know.
Well, think about this.
I used to take it with me sometimes.
Think about this. Like before every football game, there's a prayer.
There's a prayer.
Before every football pep rally, game, there's a prayer.
Court does a prayer all the time.
Yeah.
All the courts. Court system has like a prayer thing.
You
want to
take that out, you're going to have a fight. Not with me, but you're going to fight with somebody. All right, so
Jesus,
you're going to fight with Jesus on Judgment Day.
It's going to be like
because Jesus is the guy that cleans up the courtroom.
That would be hilarious if they had. They really need to bring back Celebrity Deathmatch. I think Celebrity Deathmatch,
for real, not Claymation.
Well, even Claymation, I think it would be hilarious in today's time to have some of these. But it's almost like Claymation when you have Jake Paul fighting Mike Tyson.
That's almost like
Celebrity Deathmatch.
Is that coming up?
Pretty soon, I think it's in the summer. Yeah, I think it's in the summer.
Okay, all right.
Be worth watching.
UFC 300
last night was pretty wild.
I got like 35 seconds. I can watch that match. It'll be good.
Yeah, it'll be good.
You know, he just punch him right in the face. It'll be fun.
Yeah, hopefully.
All right, so Bobby comes up and says, if it pleases the court, I will show that my client or dad is not a bad man, just an ignorant man. And Hank's like, oh, here we go. And then Mr. McKay comes up. Ignorance is no matter how profound and pathetic, is not an excuse. So Bobby says, then I would like to change my client's plea to guilty by reason of insanity. Hank says, wait, what? I'm not insane. Bobby says, your witness, hands it over to Clark Peters. Of course, Clark gets up and goes, I'm not a lawyer. I'm just a kid. But you, sir, disgust me. Hank says,
I'm not a lawyer. You do that voice really good. Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Hank says, all right, that's it. I do not plead guilty. We have a dumpster at Trickland Propane, and we fill it with garbage, and that's what it's there for. This whole thing is ridiculous. Mr. McKay speaks up and says, I'll tell you what's ridiculous. The city council is considering putting in a new landfill in unincorporated Arlen. And by the way, in that shot, freaking Dooley is the judge.
Dooley is the judge. You could have
put Dooley as the judge?
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought Dooley as a judge was kind of wild, yeah.
Hank says, what's wrong with a new landfill? You got to put garbage somewhere. He says, if we put garbage somewhere, soon we'll be putting it everywhere. Anybody want to sleep on a bed of yucky garbage and drink toxic waste? And the whole class is like, no. And he gets a super, like, pious, satisfied look on his face. You know,
yeah,
he's just
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Ha-ha.
Told you.
Yeah, and Hank says, come on, McMahon and Barry use the money they got burying Houston's garbage to buy those new fire engines. Who likes fire engines? Absolutely no
Nobody.
One in the class says anything.
I like fire engines.
Who likes fire engines thinking they're all like eight? Bobby says, but Dad, if they put this one in, it'll jeopardize an endangered species. Algae saxillifolia. Itchy algae.
Oh, okay.
Itchy algae.
Itchy algae.
Hank says, itchy algae. It sounds like a good riddance to me. Mr. McKay says, just because itchy algae isn't cuddly or good for anything doesn't mean we should destroy its habitat by draining the quarry. Well, it kind of does. Hank says, the quarry? And then Bobby says, that's where they're putting the landfill. And boy, does Hank, it's like his ass is on fire. He gets up and runs yep. the hell out of that room. And Bobby says, I throw my insane client on the mercy of the court. Now, we've got all three of them with Boomhauer, and he is still working on his car out in the alley. They're all just kind of mm-hmm. there. Hank walks up as Dale is talking. Dale says, and after the weather, they did a story about a squirrel that water skis, and I went to bed happy. It's such a great in the middle of a sentence. Hank comes up. You can tell he's a little worried. He goes, I just remember that I left my workbench in your basement, Dale. Three of us ought to go be able to carry it. You hear Boomhauer go, yo, man. He goes, no. Bill, Dale, and I can handle it. Thanks anyway. Let's go, Bill and Dale. So they leave Boomhauer there with his car. They rush over to Dale's basement. And by the way, they are worried. Like,
super worried.
I mean, yeah. Shaking, pacing, everything. So we don't know exactly what's going on. But Hank says, okay, I know we agreed never to speak of this again, but they're going to drain the quarry. And Bill says, but if they drain the quarry, Boomhauer will find out what happened to. And then Dale's like, Sally, because he slaps Bill right in the middle of a sentence and just says Sally. And that is the first commercial break. We got a bunch of worried guys in a basement, and we will be right back.
Snack Attack is a podcast about the history of your favorite snacks, candies, and treats. Each 5-minute or less episode features the history of a great snack from around the world. We'll also visit what the status of the snack is today and give you a little knowledge to lord over your friend. Snack Attack is available anywhere you get your podcast or at roguemedianetwork.com. Let's get snacking!
Step into the unexpected with Cultastic, or How to Start a Cult Without Really Trying. A podcast where cult creation unfolds in the most unpredictable way. Join us on a unique journey into the world of theoretical cult formation. Unlike any other podcast, each episode of Cultastic is co-written in part using ChatGPT, and we let it decide our fate, good or bad. What makes Cultastic truly intriguing? We don't know what's coming each week. Together with our AI co-author, we'll discover and build this cult, one episode at a time, exploring various aspects of cult dynamics, leadership, and group psychology. Delve into themes of charisma, influence, and the power of group thinking. It's a blend of expert analysis, theoretical exploration, and the unforeseen twists of AI-generated ideas. Remember, Cultastic is an exercise in imagination and education where we weave a narrative one episode and one tenant at a time. Curious about where this journey will take us? Subscribe to Cultastic or How to Start a Cult without really trying on your favorite podcast platform or at roguemedianetwork.com. Let's build this mission to save the people of Earth week by unpredictable week.
We are back. We got a bunch of guys worried in a basement. Boomhauer's out rubbing on his car. These guys, evidently something has happened.
Something happened
terrible in the quarry. We don't know if it's a murder or what it is. But anyway, all three of them are there. Dale is damn near in the fetal position. Hank is still pacing. Bill's biting his nails. Everybody is worried. He goes, Bill says, we agreed never to speak of that day again. Hank says, I remember. Believe me, I remember. And then we get a flashback. In this flashback, we see all three of those guys. Well, number one, we see the Ms. Sally license plate on the old Mustang.
On the old Mustang, the 65 Mustang.
Yeah. And we see all three guys. Boomhauer's over there polishing his Mustang. And all three guys are standing over there watching him. And they all have big-ass hair. I mean, like,
they got
big
that
old
big
hair.
Hair, yeah. Big old pompadours.
Bill especially. He's got this giant lion's mane.
Or whatever it is, yeah.
Oh, my God. Dale has...
I mean, that was the 70s, right? Isn't that what it was? Like, people had that long
early 80s,
hair.
That kind of thing, yeah.
Kind of like, what's that?
Because, like, Free Ride is playing on the car that drives up. So,
yeah,
I mean,
kind of like...
it's, man, like hair metal movie? Almost. But
I'm trying to think of the movie. Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, you're talking about All Right, All Right, All Right.
All Right, All Right. Yeah.
Shit, what's
they keep getting older, but I stay the same age. I can't think of the name of that movie.
It
bugs me
too.
Because that's like a quintessential high school.
Somebody's gonna get it right there. Ask them what the movie is.
What's the movie?
I just can't remember.
I can't remember either. Fast Times at Ridgemont High. No, that's not it.
No. That one's
Dazed and Confused. Tyler Horner, 33. Appreciate it. Appreciate it, Tyler.
Tyler, what?
Tyler Horner, 33.
Oh, I thought it was Tyler Durden, 33.
No, not Tyler Durden.
All right, so all of them are watching Boomhauer over there, and you hear Bill say, no, I wish Boomhauer would let us ride in his car. How can we be wild and crazy guys if we're not stuck standing around all the time? Now, that places kind of the time. Wild and Crazy Guys was something that Dan Aykroyd and Steve Martin did on Saturday Night Live, but it was late 70s. They were like foreigners, and they would come out and go, ooh, we're wild and crazy guys.
Late 70s would put them, you know, in high school, late 70s. Because my dad was born in 60, and he graduated in 78, 79, so it puts it about that time frame.
So this white car comes driving up. There's a girl in it. She goes, hey, baby. Boomhauer gets in. The girl's big blonde, doing her makeup in the mirror kind of thing. They drive off. Dale looks at him and goes, wait a second. Kid Dynamite has got it. Now, Dynamite comes from Good Times, the TV show. Now, that's the one they just rebooted as a cartoon that's offending everybody on Netflix.
Something Walker, right?
Jimmy J.J. Walker.
Jimmy Walker.
Dynamite.
Which is funny because that's where David Letterman, Jay Leno, Louis Anderson
they all got their start.
First writing start is writing jokes for his stand-up.
Yeah, yeah. And then from his stand-up, Good Times was made. It was made by Norman Lear, the same guy who did Jeffersons and All in the Family and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, I don't understand why they've made it into a cartoon now.
I haven't seen it yet.
But have you seen the blowback on it?
I've seen a lot of blowback on it, for sure.
People are like, this is the most offensive thing I've ever seen.
It was one of the original people in Good Times that's still alive.
It might have been Jimmy J.J. Walker, because he's still alive doing Medicare commercials.
Medicare. No, it's the bald guy.
The big guy?
The real big guy.
The dad?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I thought he was dead.
I think he was saying something about it, how he's not going to opine on it because it's created without Norman Lear.
Well, yeah.
It's created in a different time.
And it's got every
intended
stereotype
audience is different.
That sucks in it. It's got it's just terrible.
Yeah, I haven't checked it out.
I don't know how that works.
I'm going to have to
Yeah, I'm going to have to check it
but
out.
But Dale has a great idea. He says, why don't we take Boomhauer's car for a joyride? Hank says, joyride? That sounds fun. And you know what would be more fun if after we drive it, we fill it with gas. So the next time Boomhauer uses it, he's like, oh, how did that happen?
That's a great prank.
That's
yeah.
such jokes. So all three of them go on a joyride, starting with Hank driving. Bill says, let's go to 31 flavors and ask for 31 samples. Dale says, it's legal and there's nothing they can do about it. And then we see all of them are eating the samples they got from 31 flavors. Now Bill is driving. He's doing donuts in the dirt out there. He stops, pulls over. Dale crawls from the back seat into the front and he's like, yeah, Zingo, I'll drive. Hank does not like this idea. He says, you can't handle a stick. Dale takes off in Boomhauer's car. He's grinding the gears, doesn't know what the hell a clutch is. He calls it the left brake. Hank says, you can't handle the stick. No, you're stripping the gears. Dale, stop. You see Dale in the car. He's like, left brake's not working. He's pushing it. Hank says, that's a clutch. Hits the other pedal.
Yeah.
And then the car goes off the cliff as Dale jumps out of it. It falls into the water in the quarry. So now we kind of know what happened. Dale comes up to the guys looking at the car sinking in the quarry, and he goes, oh, that was close, but I think I'm okay. You jackass. What a jackass, man. And the whole thing sinks, and we see the boys' letter jackets go down.
Oh, hold on. I forgot to mention something
here. Yeah, go for it.
I just seen it in Artie's notes. It said the song that was playing when Hank and Bill were shown driving it was The Night Chicago Died by Paper Lace, which is a song about Al Capone.
The Night Chicago Died.
Yeah. And then Live and Let Die, Paul McCartney and Wings is when Dale is driving it, which is kind of suiting for the moment when lives and then lets die when the car goes
Dale's
in the water.
That should be Dale's theme song, Live and Let Die.
Live and Let Die.
That's about right.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so we flash back to now. Hank says, Boomhauer thinks some Yankees came down and stole the car. He's going to go to his grave thinking that. Of course, Dale hears that and says, Boomhauer's grave. You suggesting we kill Boomhauer? Well, you're the boss. I mean, Jesus, he just flips so quickly. Hank says, we're not killing Boomhauer. Bill says, yeah, but when they drain the quarry, they'll find his car with our Letterman jackets right inside, and he'll want to kill us. He won't find out. Hank says, he won't find out. He goes, let's just say Councilman Fred Eber owes me one. I voted for him. Well, that means everybody.
That's funny.
And then Dale says, I'm leaning back towards killing him. I do not trust Dale. I think he is the worst person. He's a terrible friend.
Out of the whole group, he's probably the least trustworthy.
He is the one that gets them in trouble more often than not.
Yeah.
Bill only has like two or three slips.
Oh, remember the episode where, speaking of Dale being in trouble all the time, where he's up in the tower and they think he's going to start shooting or something?
Yeah. It's always Dale.
And they get buddies.
Dale's a freaking
Bobby
idiot.
Walks up and says, I'll take the shot to the sniper.
Shoot him.
I'll take the shot.
All right, so now they're going to talk to Councilman Fred Eber, and I think this is really funny. They're at the movie theater with a map spread out, and you hear Hank say, so you can see, Councilman Eber, this is a far more suitable location for the landfill than the quarry. Then it pans out, and Councilman Eber is dressed like he works at a movie theater.
Yeah, he looks like an usher, doesn't
he?
He's
dressed like an usher, dumping popcorn and all this while he's talking to him. He goes, no, they're using that land to build one of those new multiplexes. Looks like I'm going to be out of a job soon, Hank. He dumps the popcorn, and Dale says, what about that gray patch of land over there? Looking at the map, and he goes, it looks pretty useless. It'd be perfect.
That's the quarry.
He goes, that's a quarry. Dale's an idiot.
Yeah, he's pretty dumb.
All right, so now we got all three of them, no Boomhauer.
Speaking of quarries, behind the house where I grew up, where I kind of still reside, there's a lake behind our house. It's a man-made lake that used to be a quarry? It was a quarry first. Yeah. It was a sand pit first.
Yeah.
And then
there's
it ended up being trains used to go through and fill up steam water there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
That's what its main purpose was throughout its life.
Yeah.
And then
I don't know what you call that.
Behind my mom's friend's house, their backyard would go out straight like this, and then it just dropped off, and it was like 10 feet, and then everything after that would just go all the way straight out.
Yeah.
Ended up, the reason why it was like that was because
that whole area back there, they quarried for the highway in the 60s.
Oh.
So when they came and did all this highway work they've just done,
yeah,
they went back to the same property, went to my friend's mom and was like, hey, we're going to backfill all this with all extra dirt. So we're going to level your yard and everything back off, which they were happy for because their yard, their yard, a good, like the back half of their yard was unusable because it was the drop off down.
Huh.
So they just had a fence down at the bottom of the drop off and you couldn't really do anything.
Well, it
the top
is nice.
Of the hill
I mean,
it.
At least they filled it up.
So when they filled it all the way back up, it actually gave them probably like 40 feet or 50 extra feet.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not telling how long, but like width wise, an extra like 50 feet of
yard.
Well,
it was like, I'm sure that was eminent domain at the time, and they took it and they did whatever they wanted to with it. And now they don't need it.
No, actually, the guy that owns the majority of the property that's behind theirs that was affected, he's owned it since the 60s.
Oh, really?
Whenever they built the highway in the late 50s, early 60s, he's dead and gone now, and he's already sold the property off to somebody else. But he owned that property up until he passed and then sold it to the people who have it now. So the highway came in and they were like, hey, you know, this is not how it used to be, but we'll come fix it all and put all this stuff back. So they put it all back and now it's just like completely like level again. It looks really weird.
I bet it does look weird, especially if you've seen it that way most of your life.
You know, and there used to be like big tree. Like whenever they came to backfill it, they tore everything that was in there out.
Well, it's like whenever they drain or not drain, they flood like a valley or something, you know, for like hydroelectric and stuff like that.
Like,
it's so weird.
Even the one out here that whenever they did our
TPNL's that way.
Yeah, TPNL's like that. But whenever they did like the actual Waco Lake or Lake Waco, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
That was one of the big things when they were doing that in the 30s when they first did it, when they did the first lake, was Spiegelville. The entire city had to move.
Oh, wow.
Because the original Spiegelville was actually where the parts of where the lake actually sits. And if you go to Tire City in Belle Meade, it's funny to say, but
I know exactly where
but he has pictures all over his walls of old racetracks.
Really?
And it's actually a guy went to
old
high school
from out there.
Yeah, well, a guy went to high school with his dad own his dad's family, like his stepdad's family owns Tire City and stuff.
Okay.
So I go in there and I'm talking
Tire
to
City
him,
King.
And it's old dirt tracks. And I was like, I don't recognize these tracks. This isn't the one that was in Belle Meade. And he goes, oh, yeah, well, there used to be a bowl track down there when they flooded it in the 30s or 40s or whatever it was.
Well, I don't know about that track. I know there are some other tracks out there that my dad used to race on. I was getting stuff for the sports podcast the other day, just like knickknacks and stuff.
Yeah.
And I came across my dad's old trophies. So I brought a couple of the old racing trophies
awesome.
And stuck them in
the
background.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Okay, so all three of them are over there. What we're seeing right now is Luann is taking out the trash and Bobby's talking to her.
Luann.
He says, so if you stop using newspapers, I can give you a coupon for $20 off your first purchase of a windmill. What a deal.
That's a hell of a deal.
Luann says, I'm sorry, I can't help you, Bobby. I don't use newspapers. And then from the side, you hear Hank say, you can cancel my subscription. I want to be part of the solution. Bobby says, I thought you said tree huggers like me and Mr. McKay were a bunch of noodle brain communists. Hank says, no. No.
This is one of those rare instances of Hank
lying to his son.
Well, not necessarily lying to his son, which he is lying to his son, but that's not what I'm. That's not the point I'm making.
Oh, okay.
Where he's doing something not to change his mind because he's not changing his mind about environmentalism or nothing like that.
Yeah.
He's only doing it to save his ass at the end of the day. So
absolutely.
It's one of those rare instances where he's doing something to try to save face.
Very.
But it looks like he's doing something good, even
though
he's really just doing it because he doesn't want Boomhauer to know that in high school. And what would it matter almost 30 years later?
It
like,
probably wouldn't. But
Boomhauer would probably be pissed, but I mean, it would probably blow over.
You never see this out of Hank where he's lying to get out of a situation.
It's very rare.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's other instances, but this is just
sure.
this is few
this
and far
one
in
I
between
can think of that we've seen so far. And Bobby says, oh, this is great. I'm going to get extra credit for bringing you all on board. We're going to save itchy algae. Hank says, yeah, itchy algae. And Dale, of course, being an idiot, says, Earth first, make Mars our bitch. I don't understand that. So now we're in the back of Hank's yard. A bunch of people, and I don't know how else to say it, but they're very crunchy, hippie-like, you know, out there making picket signs and stuff.
Which, for those of you that aren't really aware of what hippies were rich white kids whose parents afforded them the ability to do nothing in their early 20s.
I don't know if they were all rich.
Not all of them, but to be able to be able to spend,
be able to just walk away from things
and just do whatever. Yeah. And that's the when the hippies in the 80s and 90s become the yuppies.
Right now you see cults that look a lot like hippies. Like if you look at that
yeah, somebody told me I look like I run a cult.
No, you look like
hair
you look
beard.
Like you dig ditches at a cult.
Yeah.
That Love Has Won, you know, that woman that got to be like Mother God and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those people remind me of hippies very much so, because it's about a commune and stuff. And they, one of the things they said during that documentary, they were like, you know where the hippies got it wrong? They hated money. And I was like, okay, well, maybe that's it. I don't know. You know, a bunch of idiots.
Speaking of hating money and money things, did you see where they sentenced that businesswoman to death?
No.
What are you talking about? I want to say it was in Thailand. Mm. I could be wrong. Might be Thailand or Vietnam. One of those Southeast Asian countries. She'd embezzled what they had thought. It was like, at first it was like $16 billion.
Yeah.
And then they went back. It's Vietnam. Okay, Vietnam. And they went back. No, they went back and looked, and it was like 60-something billion.
Oh, my God.
So it was 67 billion.
How did she get all that money?
I don't know what she was embezzling. It might have been real estate or something, I think is what it was. I didn't catch much of the details of it. It was in passing that I'd seen it. And they had sentenced her to death for embezzling like $67 billion or whatever it was. I thought that was crazy.
That is crazy. Like nobody gets sent. You know,
it's a white collar crime. But yeah, I think $67 billion. How many people do you have to screw over to amass $67 billion?
Well,
you got to think of what the GDP of the country of Vietnam is to begin with.
So yeah, I have no idea what the GDP of Vietnam is, but. Let's see. What country did
408.8 billion. She had amassed 67 billion. So the percentage of that is where's Google at? I usually ask her questions.
Yeah. I was looking to see what the difference in currency was. So one Vietnamese dong, was it 60 billion dong?
No, I think it was American.
Because that's
67 American.
Because one Vietnamese dong equals 0.0000040.
No, it was U.S. they had translated to U.S.
Oh, okay. All right.
But the GDP of the whole country is 408, and she had 67 embezzled.
So she
that's
almost
a
had
huge
a, she
percentage.
Almost had a fourth.
Yeah, almost a
GDP.
Fourth of the entire GDP.
All right, so we got all these hippies in the backyard. They're making signs, a bunch of picket signs says, you know, no quarry or whatever they say. Hank is walking through with Bobby, and he goes, no, I thought we were just having a few of your classmates over, not a bunch of, who are these people? And Bobby says, oh, they're from Mr. McKay's yoga group. Principal Moss says our class can't get grades for protesting, so all the other kids dropped out. But don't worry, Dad, I still care. I even wrote a slogan, drain the quarry. Hank says, dang it, Bobby, that's exactly what we don't want. He goes, well, I'm not done. Drain the quarry, you'll be sorry. Hank says, oh,
now
that
good.
Is good.
Hell yeah, we like
want,
that one.
He doesn't want him draining that quarry.
Yeah, don't drain that stuff.
Bobby says, this is the first time in my life I've gotten you to change your mind about something. Which of my arguments did you love the most? And Hank goes, Spaceship Earth, we're all in this together, you know, random acts or whatnot. Just then, Peggy comes out of the sliding glass doors, and she's got an apron on, which you don't see very often.
No, you don't.
She's carrying a tray with some cookies and some plates and stuff on it. She goes, who wants some of Peggy Hill's rainforest cookies? They are made with sustainably harvested Brazil nuts. All profits go to save the rainforest. That's bullshit, number one, Peggy.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
Because there's no way that you got all that together. Mr. McKay comes riding up on his little 10-speed, and he goes, oh, are those paper plates? Peggy just goes, yes. And then she just goes back in. She's like, she can't win for losing.
She can't win for losing.
Over the fence, you see Boom Harry go, man, dang, starting to look like Woodstock over here, man. You're talking about that old dang Sha-na-na going in there, man. Do you know who Sha-na-na is?
I have no clue who Sha-na-na is. Is it, was Sha-na-na at Woodstock?
Yeah, they were.
Because I've watched a ton of Woodstock footage, but I've never heard of
and
that
that's
band.
And that's what he's referring to. Sha-na-na was a doo-wop band. Like,
why were they at Woodstock? Was it the end of an era or something? They just caught it because it was at the end?
Early 70s, they got real popular. They even had a variety show for a while, the Sha-na-na show.
Oh, so what you're saying is that the only reason why Sha-na-na popped up in the 70s like
the
that
time.
Was because the people who grew up in the 50s were now nostalgia.
For the most part,
it was like
the
nostalgia.
But it's the one that you can look at out of all the Woodstock acts and go, what the? why is Shanana there? You know, and so that's what he's like, you know, he's on in that argument because they didn't fit.
No.
They had one guy on there, his name was Bowser, and he was the guy who did all the deep voices. He would be like, bow, 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 like super, super deep stuff. Yeah. You know? And he was like the popular one.
Did you ever go to Woodstock, the 99 one?
No.
You didn't
go
to the one in 99?
I didn't go to any of that.
I heard the one in 99 was
It was a mess.
God,
it was
awful.
A corporate mess.
Yeah, I heard it was terrible.
I went to the first Lollapalooza tour.
Okay.
I just remember a lot of mud, a lot of stages. I saw Green Day, saw Ice-T with Body Count. Saw Jane's Addiction. Anyway, there's a bunch of good bands.
Yeah, I always wanted to do a festival and check them out, but there's just something that doesn't appeal to me about being in piss, shit, and mud for 3 days.
It was very much that.
Because that's what a lot of these shows are, where everybody's like, oh, yeah, we had a good time. We saw this band, but I got dysentery and cholera from
exactly
the water.
Right. Yeah, I got worms now.
Yeah.
All right, so let's see. He comes over and talks about Shanana. Hank says, Boomhauer, we're just saving an endangered species. And Dale says, go away. He says, you know, itchy algae. And then Boomer says, you already man baited. Fine, I'll do my grocery shopping somewhere else, man. So,
you know what itchy algae reminds me of? I don't mean to interrupt you.
No,
again.
You're good.
Clean, drain, dry your boat. The zebra mussels.
Zebra mussels.
So, for those of you that don't know, there's a big, like,
they're an invasive species.
A huge invasive species that's in, like, it's real big in Texas. I don't know if it's anywhere
especially
else.
Lakes and stuff.
But yeah. I know that they always tell people to clean, drain, and dry their boats and check your boat
mussels.
For zebra mussels going from one body of water to the next.
They're like a regular mussel, but they have stripes.
Yeah.
And
so
they can't breathe.
Clean, drain, dry your boat.
All right. Now we're at the Hymlet County Courthouse, and we're having a protest. Everybody's saying, drain the quarry. You'll be sorry. Drain the quarry. You'll be sorry. Hank steps up to the podium and the mic, and he goes, Hank Hill, Strickland Propane. I'm no stranger to city council meetings, having supported your anti-skateboarding initiative as well as the neon sign wattage limits. But today I'm here to present the petition signed by 200 citizens against the proposed landfill. The councilman is there. He goes, Hank, I understand. He, by the way, he's still dressed like an usher.
Yeah.
Says, Hank, I understand how you feel in your fringe minority, but that quarry is a festering stinkhole, and the hobos use it as a giant toilet. We're better off without it. Let's turn trash into cash. Bill says, their slogan's better than our slogan.
Their slogan's better than our slogan.
He goes, let's put it to a vote. All in favor? Everybody raise their hands. He goes, all right, it's settled. Draining the quarry will begin tomorrow at 9 a.m. Bobby looks at Hank and goes, Dad, what are we going to do? He goes, don't worry, son. I'll think of something. So now we're back in Dale's basement. It's at night. Dale says, I've got it. We create three new people, Hank Jones, Dale Smith, Bill Mangan. When they find their Letterman jackets in the car, those guys take the heat. Now, we're going to need three dead guys. And then Bill says, well, the Army might have some dead guys. I mean, this is a actual plan they're trying to come up with. Three
yeah, they're really
dead
trying
guys
to,
and let's change some names.
Trying to come up with something. Yeah.
Hank says, why couldn't it have been me and Boomhauer that did something horrible to you guys? And I get what he's saying because it would have been so much easier to cover up.
Way easier.
Bill says, because Boomhauer's a saint.
Which
says,
he is.
He really
we got an artifact here. It says, Boomhauer is usually shown to have good morals and judgment.
He does.
But he does not have a good track record with women.
Mm-mm. And we actually see that here in a second.
Yeah, well, there's actually two episodes he refers to. He refers to season 6, episode 6,
yeah.
Where he shows Bobby how to pick up on women.
Yeah.
That's pick a good up one. Women. And
like
then
that.
There's one where he lies and ducks a woman until his heart is broken in Dango Love, season 6,
one.
Episode 20.
That's the one with the little tiny underwear.
Yeah, his little underwear. I'm pretty sure that's not the first time we see him in those little underwear.
No, we see him in this, too. He says, Boomhauer's a saint. Hank says, okay, I got a plan that might actually work. Dale, we're going to need your scuba gear. Dale's like, why? He goes, because they can't find Boomhauer's car if it's not there. Bill says, but it is there. Maybe we should use Dale's scuba gear to pull the car out. Dale says, now that's a plan, Hank. These idiots, man.
Yeah, they're idiots for
sure.
All right,
so now we're at the quarry. Hank is in a floating boat. It's like one of those inflatable boats, you know. He's in that. He's got a rope tied to it. Bill is on the shore with a tow truck. So he's got the rope tied to it. Dale comes up in his frog suit or his scuba gear, and he goes, piece of cake. He's talking to Hank in the boat. He goes, piece of cake. I found it right between my old lawnmower and what I'm fairly certain is a genuine Egyptian sarcophagus. Yeah, it's not. Hank says, okay, Bill, crank her up. Bill's in the tow truck. He starts cranking the rope. It comes up, and he goes, damn it, Dale, because it's a fridge.
It is a fridge.
He pulls up a refrigerator. Strange. Another frogman must have switched the hook after I surfaced. But why? Hank just pushes him in the water. Now, it's a little bit later.
I think it's funny that he calls him frogman when all he is wearing is a scuba diving gear. He's not wearing the frog suit with the big, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Metal helmet and the porthole window thing.
So we got a little bit later, and there's tons of junk on the shore now.
Like, we've got a pile of it here.
Also,
so,
by the way, there's a stuffed moose in there.
Yeah, we've got a list of things. So we've got Dale's.
Who put this list together?
This is an artifact.
Oh, good for him.
So you've got Dale's lawnmower, which the episode, season 3, episode 20.
Oh, the riding mower.
Yeah, remember in the Dale afternoon where he says he dumped his mower so he could get the new one? That's when he got that Mason mower.
Yeah, he started wearing all the Mason stuff in the
shower. Shout out to Mason, a dishwasher, a statue of a cow from a steakhouse.
Oh, it's the statue of a cow. That's what it is. Okay.
And then a victory bell, which victory bells are popular trophies between rival football teams.
Oh, yeah. I bet they stole it from another team and dumped it in the quarry.
Yeah.
All right. So we got all that junk. And then finally, we pulled out the Mustang. It's got the Sally plates on it. It comes up, and Hank says, my God, look, it's Boomhauer's car. Dale says, at least it won't be too hard to chop it up and bury it. Bill opens the door. A bunch of water comes out. So do their jackets. He goes, look, our old Letterman's jackets. You can still see where Dale says towel manager. And they put the damn jackets on, which is gross as far as I'm concerned. Those things have been in the water for like 20 years or more. He's going to put them on? That's gross. Flashlight comes in their eyes, and you hear Bobby say, Dad. And then Mr. McKay, this is nice, very nice. Now, you see what Hank is doing, Darren? He's blocking the draining equipment with a pile of debris. And you get the big group of hippies and teacher and Bobby. He goes, he's fighting garbage with garbage. Good work, Hank.
Good work,
But this is the
upcycling the trash.
This is absolutely the last thing Hank wants. Bobby says, that's my dad. Hank says, thanks. Mr. McKay, okay, everybody, let's get our chains and bag lunches and meet back here at Hank's barricade. Bag lunches. Mm-hmm. Bobby says he kind of stays back and goes, I should see if my dad wants a peanut butter and lentil sandwich or the soy eggs and sausage. He's not going to want any of those, Bobby.
No, he would not. That's like eating turkey bacon.
Oh, my God, I can't stand that stuff.
I can't stand the idea of somebody thinking that they could strip up turkey pieces and call it bacon.
Turkey bacon tastes like leather, and it's awful. I hate it.
Isn't it just kind of like how they make hot dogs? It's like a turkey slime that they turn into like bacon-shaped patties.
So turkey bacon is the fruit roll-up of pork. You know what I mean? It's all it is. It's a fruit roll-up of turkey. That's all it is. And it tastes awful. You don't microwave that shit either, by the way. You microwave that shit, you are chewing for days and days and days.
You can microwave bacon, though, and not chew for very long.
Yes, you can.
I don't like microwaving it. Usually what I do with mine is I take a wad, like I separate each piece and then just like throw it in a pile in the skillet and then just pour grease on it. Or not grease, but put cooking oil on it and just flip that big pile until it's crispy for a sandwich.
And that's why Rusty's heart is two sizes too big.
Too big.
No,
it's because I'm the Grinch.
What we do is we take a sheet pan, and then I've got like a little thing that props it up, like a little grid, and I put the bacon on that, and we cook it in the sheet pan. So it's all straight, and it cooks evenly.
I hate crispy bacon, though.
Oh, see, I love crispy bacon.
I don't like crispy
bacon.
I like
it both ways. Well, I like the chewy, the fatty, the crispy. I'll just take bacon.
Here. Well, it comes from
eating
English bacon, in England.
Well, that's more like
they're
a little
like
piece
pork
of ham
chops.
Almost. Yeah.
They're like
yeah.
little tiny, like yeah. I would call it almost like a pork chop. It's like a bacon chop. Uh-huh. They're, you know, they're yeah. good size. Yeah. They call it a rasher of bacon.
And then you go up to Canada, you get the Canadian bacon.
Which is
back bacon. Which is just like big circular
pieces.
Well,
that's what they eat over there is back bacon, too.
It's a lot like the same. That's what I'm saying. Like
it's similar to
you can start with us as the little strips that we cook. Then you go to Canada, and you get the round stuff that's a little thicker. And then you get to England, and it's like basically a pork chop.
Yeah, it's like two pieces of Canadian bacon in one kind of thing.
Well, like you see
you fry
the
hell
you see
out
the
of
full
it.
English bacon and full English breakfast.
Oh, have you ever had a full English breakfast?
No, I have not.
Well, if you and your wife ever end up in England, that's one thing you have
to try
the full, because it is just.
I want that and the eel pie.
After you get, the whole point of it is it's a working man's breakfast. Yeah, so you get drunk the night before, and then you go eat that big English breakfast with a beer, hair of the dog, and a fat meal, and you're good to go.
Sounds pretty damn good right now. So Bobby kind of goes.
Oh, hold on. We got a joke here.
Yeah, go for
Super Azd says, take a shot each time Rusty brings up England.
Yeah, that's it. That's,
that's
you,
funny.
You're going to get drunk. So Bobby kind of goes back off to the guys, you know, Hank and Bill and Dale, and he overhears Dale say, what are we going to do, Hank? There's a protest. There'll be cops. And if there's cops, they'll try to pin it on me. And since I did it, they will succeed. Bill says, oh, my God, you know, he'll take us down with him. Dale says, you know, that does sound like me, Hank. So they literally had a conversation about how Dale's going to get brought down. And he's going to bring the other ones down. And then Dale agrees with it. He's
that
like,
does
yep,
sound
that
like
does
me.
Sound like me. I'll take you down. Bobby over here is
at least he knows, though. You know what I mean? At least he's aware enough of himself.
Well, that's true,
to know.
I guess. Yeah, but he's still an ass. Bobby is over here and all this. Hank says, pull it together, guys. I haven't spent all this time acting like an environmental nut job just so Boomhauer could find out we dumped his car here. Bobby is super disappointed. He goes back up the hill and goes over to Mr. McKay. He says, Mr. McKay, can I borrow your cell phone, please? He goes, yeah, this is unincorporated Ireland. There might be some roaming charges. He goes, I'll pay them. He gets on the cell phone. He calls Boomhauer. Boomhauer answers, yo. He goes, Mr. Boomhauer, it's Bobby Hill. I found your car, Sally. Yeah, I think you'll want to get down to the quarry as fast as you can.
I got a quick artifact real quick.
Go for it.
So Boomhauer here, while he's laying in bed and answers the phone, it's the
he's with the ice cream girl,
ice cream lady, which she again pops up in the Dang Old Love episode
too.
She? Yeah, he's the one that he avoided and lied to in the Dang Old Love
shit.
Scene.
I didn't realize
so
that.
So she is what Artie has dubbed a rare recurring sexual partner character
for
Boomhauer.
She has zero on other than the little ice cream hat.
Because that's all she's got on.
Up. Yeah, yeah.
So I imagine they were doing some ice cream role playing. Ice cream, you scream, we're both screaming.
He was getting his two scoops. And then he jumps up out of bed, gets his pants on. He's like, man, I got to run, man. I need to move. You need to move ice cream truck, man. So that's how we know she drives an
funny.
Ice cream truck.
You need to move that ice cream truck, man. Right after just having sex with a woman and saying, oh, man, I got to run. You need to move that ice cream truck, man.
Ice cream truck. All right, while she moves that ice cream truck, we're going to take that second commercial break, and we will be right back.
Ned Hillsdale, a hard-drinking, foul-mouthed ex-cop, turned private detective in the city of Chicago. He lives dangerously, loves intensely, and drinks harder than anyone. The very things that got him kicked off the force now make him the city's best detective. Set against the low rumble of sad jazz and the hum of underground crime, Ned Hillsdale, Private Detective, is available anywhere you get your podcasts and at roguemedianetwork.com.
Hey everybody, I'm Tony, and some call me Big T.
And I'm Carrie, and we have some exciting news. We have a podcast.
Absolutely, it's called My Husband is a Hunka Hunka Burning Love.
No.
And we'll be discussing some different sex positions overweight couples can easily perform, correct?
I don't think so. It's called I Married an Idiot.
I know, I'm just kidding.
We'll try to stay on task, focus. Did you take your Adderall today?
Really? You're going to ask me that? Are you insinuating something?
Never mind. You may be wondering why we're doing this. We have been together for 36 years.
36 short, long
years.
Freaking years. But we must be doing something right, right?
Well, we must be. But this is where the fun starts.
And you know me, I love having fun. Fun is the best thing to have.
Yes, it is. On our show, we're going to be discussing a wide variety of topics. And I'll give you my opinion, and you'll give your opinion. So please, do not embarrass me.
I'm not going to embarrass you. I told you 1,000 times, but you also need to learn to get some thicker skin if you're going to be doing this.
No.
And don't take everything so damn personal.
No, but you get personal.
Anyway, it's up to you, not you, Carrie, but the podcastee listeners.
The audience,
to decide which one of us is the idiot.
It's going to be pretty obvious, trust me.
Absolutely, totally obvious. Was that a shot?
Of course not.
Okay, good, just checking. So you know, everybody has an opinion. It's like my daddy always said.
Oh, no. Here we go.
Well, it's true. An opinion is like an ass. Everyone has one, and some are bigger than others, or it went something like that.
Stop. Would you be nice? See what I mean? Tell them where we can be found.
Anywhere you get your podcast or roguemedianetwork.com. Just look up I Married an Idiot. Sit back, relax, and give us a try. I promise you it'll be entertaining. And if you want to contact us, you can shoot us an email. Well, I don't seem to have the email at the moment. This is not good. I don't seem to have that at the moment, but we'll let you know. So stay tuned, and I promise you we'll let you know.
Sorry. Really?
Well.
But yes, eventually we'd love to hear your feedback. You can give us suggestions on what topic to cover, comment on our show or an episode, or just drop us a line to say hello.
Just remember, any negative feedback should be directed toward Carrie, and all positive feedback should go to me.
Wrong again.
Hey, babe, look, we got to go. Let's wrap this up.
Okay, just remember to tune in. It's going to be fun, and thanks for giving us a try.
Absolutely. Until next time, peace out. God dang.
I thought it went pretty good.
That went well, not...
I thought it went okay.
Why didn't you tell me the email? Do we even have an email?
You said you were getting the email.
I did not. When did I say that?
You're such an idiot.
Oh, the hell with it.
All right, we're back. And what we've got is a circle of hippies at the quarry singing Kumbaya. And then Mr. McKay looks at Hank and goes, I can't hear you, Mr. Hill. He goes, you know, with all that junk sitting there at quarry, already looks like a landfill. Maybe I should straighten up a bit. Bill, Dale, help me push that car into the bushes. Points specifically at the Mustang because he knows
right
what's
at it. He knows it's coming.
Mr. McKay goes, oh, too late. And then you see a bulldozer start to drive up, and that thing gets super close. Mr. McKay says to everybody, okay, everybody link arms, form a human chain of defiance. He grabs Hank, Bill,
human
Dale.
Human chain of defiance.
They're all
that
making this
great.
Human chain right in front. The bulldozer pulls up. The poor guy driving the bulldozer. He goes, oh, hi. We got to get in here to drain the quarry. And Mr. McKay says, over our bloody and beaten bodies. He goes, oh, well, I see. This is a protest. Okay, well, I hadn't heard anything about it. You know, the new girl at the office, still breaking her in. Okay, so I guess I'll call the cops. I mean, he's just so matter-of-fact. Yeah. Like, this is like the third rally he's seen today.
Well, you know, yeah.
Boomhauer drives up. He's got no shirt on, no shoes on. I mean, he ran out of the house. Mm-hmm. And Hank says, oh, no, Boomhauer, what are you doing here? He sees Sally over there. He runs over to it. He scrapes the mud off the license plate. He realizes this is his car.
I can't believe it's her, man.
They go, I can't believe it's her, man. Oh, God, I thought I'd see you to heaven, man. Oh,
I
man.
Wouldn't see it to
closure,
heaven.
Closure, man. Yeah, yeah. Hank says, Boomhauer, there's something you need to know. And he hands him the Hank letter jacket. And he goes, Hank, dang, man. And then Dale, of course, saving his own ass, he's like, oh, my God, it was Hank? Because Hank tells Boomhauer, you know, it was a prank. It just got out of hand. And now Dale is like seeing this as an opportunity for him not to get in trouble. He goes, oh, my God, it was Hank? Boomhauer, did you find any other jackets which might prove if Hank had any accomplices? Oh, no accomplices. Hank committed this tragedy all alone. What a dick. I mean, the guy is just such a dick.
And then it was Bill, that guy.
And then Bill feeds into it and goes, how could you, Hank? And just walks off.
Yeah, they're assholes.
Oh, my God. Boomhauer said, man, dang old three-faced Hank, man.
Yeah, I think that's why Hank doesn't have very many enemies, because he's got friends like that.
That's exactly right. He doesn't need them.
He don't need them.
Boomhauer says to Bobby, thanks for the heads up, Bobby. And then Hank looks at Bobby and he goes, you called Boomhauer on me? But why? Bobby says, you acted like an environmental nut job for a week, but why? He says, Bobby, you got to believe me. I didn't mean for you to hear that.
Yeah, I didn't. I think that's such the most offhanded shit ever. He's like, I meant for it to happen, but I didn't mean for you to hear me say that.
So the cops start driving in. We hear the siren. By the way, the Mr. McKay, he's arm in arm with a guy who's got a bunch of Che Guevara gear on.
Yeah.
So you know what kind of crowd we're in.
Yeah, you know what crowd you're in here.
He goes, oh, it's the cops.
Neoliberals.
Yeah. He goes, it's the cops. Wonderful. I've always wanted to get arrested for my principles. This is so stupid. All right, everybody, dead weight. They all just fall to the ground, you know, because they're going to make it really hard on the cops to arrest them. Cop says, please lie down on your stomach, spread your arms and legs.
Speaking of crazy environmental protests, there's been a lot of that stuff going on in Europe.
Really?
Yeah, it happens all the time. I see clips of it on, you know, social media all the time. There was one that I saw where I think it was in France.
Say England real quick.
I don't think it was there. They do have some pretty nutty.
I was just waiting for somebody to drink.
They do have some pretty nutty protesters that do stuff in the UK.
Oh, sure, sure.
But this one in particular, I think was France. But France, it was these two women that
they eat snails.
Used quickcrete. They quickcreted their arms to the road.
Well, I've seen a bunch of them. And they were like super gluing themselves to paintings and stuff like that. You know?
Yeah, there was one. There's ones where they go in and they'll throw like a can of tomato soup on the painting, but the painting's covered with plastic. Well, there was one that wasn't covered with plastic, and it was some ancient painting that they had to peel off the wall and send off to a restoration. Yeah. Luckily enough for painting restoration, whenever you throw a liquid like that on it, sure, they can clean it off. And because it's hard oil they're throwing it on most of the time on oil paintings.
Well, I'm sure it has a lot to do with the time frame too, like how long did it take you to get it to the restoration people
and I'm sure like that in a lot of those museums and things like that where they're having these protesters go and try to destroy stuff, they probably have restoration teams like probably in their pocket or if not on site. Yeah, if not on site.
So the cop is talking to Bobby specifically and says, please lie on your stomach and spread your arms and legs. And Bobby says, me too, but I'm not even getting extra credit anymore. He goes, you heard me. Hank starts talking to the cop. He goes, this is crazy. You can't arrest him. He's just a misguided seventh grader trying to save some pond scum. I'm the one who did something wrong. I've always been against stealing cars and lying to my son. Now I've done both. If anyone should be arrested, it's me. And he looks at Bobby and goes, what do you say we go home, Bobby? And then the cop just runs up, slams him to the ground, says, stop resisting, on your stomach. Zip ties his hands to his back. He goes, all right, let's take him out of here. Drags him out, puts him in the paddy wagon with the rest of them, goes, let's go, pal. And then Bobby, as he's being drug over there, he goes, that's it, Dad, dead weight.
Dead weight.
Hank says, Boomer. Boomer goes, yo, man. And then Dale says, that's just great. Hank was our lift because they take him off in the paddy wagon with the rest of the idiots. He goes, if you're taking Bobby, can you take us too? He's talking to Boomhauer. Boomhauer says, man, I tell you what, you dang old well drove here. You talking about you drive back, man. Dang old traitor, man.
Okay, so I got a couple of artifacts real fast. These are the last two for the episode.
Yeah.
So he actually listed all the episodes where Hank gets arrested.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
He gets arrested, of course, in the crack episode.
Yeah.
He gets arrested in the Mexico episode, when they go to the condo.
Yeah.
And then the next four arrests outside of this episode, because he gets arrested in this episode, which is season 5, episode 17, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the next four are season 7, episode 7, the Texas Skill Saw Massacre, season 7, episode 19, Be True to Your Fool. So he gets arrested twice in a season. he got arrested twice in season 2 as well. And then season 12, episode 13, The Accidental Terrorist, and then Uh-Oh, Canada, season 13, episode 18. And then he makes a reference to how Boomhauer is able to just grab Bobby and leave. He says that you're in the middle of a police situation. You've got protesters. You got a stolen car. You got cops here and everything. And he says that the ability for him to move through a police situation unobstructed might hint at his profession, which we don't find out to the very last episode ever, where he slaps the badge out and he's actually a Texas Ranger.
I
so
would imagine that helps.
This kind of alludes to that. And I think, like,
even though
some
I
of the trouble
this
that
was planned.
No, I don't think
time.
It was planned.
I think at the last season they just went, okay, Boomhauer's a Texas Ranger.
Yeah, well, it might have been planned. Who knows? I like to think that it was because they never mention what his job is.
That's
ever.
True.
He never has a job. He never works. He never has any indicator that he does any job other than I thought he might have been a mechanic.
I just thought he was a ladies' man.
I thought he was a car guy.
I thought
or
maybe
something.
He was living off these girls
as
that
a
he
kid.
Would find, you know, and he,
yeah.
he'd like sugar daddy.
When I first watched the show as a youngster, I thought that he was
a mechanic
or a race car driver. I thought he was something to do with, you know, vehicles because he was a car guy, you know. So I thought
he's definitely a car guy. Bobby's been a car guy since Wednesday. So he drives off with Bobby. The other two idiots are there. They get in the rusted Mustang. They accuse each other of flooding it. Well, no, it's been in a quarry.
It's flooded for sure.
So they can't get out of there. Now we see Boomhauer and Bobby driving home. He goes, Mr. Boomhauer, can I ask you for your advice? He goes, yo. how long should we stay angry at my dad? He goes, well, you know, Bobby, don't take it from me, man. You know, life's too short, man. You don't want to hold on, grow judge. Talking about little bygones be bygones, man. Maybe 2 weeks, probably three. I love that.
And then I love this last part right here.
Bobby says, you know, Mr. Boomhauer, I can see why my dad is always quoting you. Boomhauer says, man, your dad is quoting me? God dang, man. Maybe just 1 week. Nah, no. That's it. That's the credits.
And that's what I like about that is because even at, like we said, even after all of it, even after Hank wrecks his car, he would probably be upset, but it wouldn't be a life-ending situation.
Well, that's
what
I was thinking when you said that. You know, it's like, ultimately, he's like, eh, screw it. You know?
And yeah.
That is the one thing about Boomhauer. He does let bygones be bygones.
Because what is a car that you dumped in a quarry?
It's been gone forever. You thought
school.
Yankees stole it, you know?
Yeah.
That's what. They told him that Yankees stole it.
Yep.
All right, and that is it. We get the credits, and of course we get Hank going, no. That's it.
And we'll turn to our Instagram chat here real fast. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us. Anybody got any questions, anything like that they want to ask before we jump off here, off the Instagram?
Ask a question. While you're doing that, let me remind you of there is a Patreon out there. If you can help us out, that would be lovely. It's just one tier, super easy. It's just to help us keep the lights on. As you can see, we're changing stuff around here in the studio. For you guys that are just listening, you can probably tell the mics are a little different, things like that. So,
well, also, too, for that Patreon thing, we want to develop content for that for y'all. One idea that I have for it is, as me and Mike have went through all these episodes already, we'll start back at season one, and me and Mike will actually watch them together, and you could see
that would be a bad idea.
See, like, our live reaction and response to the show.
Yeah.
However that'll work, I don't know yet. But but if anything that you want us to do...
Well, we can't actually show the footage, but we can react to it.
We could react to it. Yeah. Well, if we... There's ways around that. As long as we as long as we're transformative with our content, we pause it enough and we make it. We could do that and get away with it legally.
Well, we can do it until they tell us to stop.
Until they tell us to stop. Well, it's all about transformative. That's the key word in how. That's the reason why these guys can react to people's content.
It's like sampling.
Yeah, and make millions of dollars just sitting there watching other people's stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
So as long as we do that. But if there's something specific that you want us to do for our Patreon content, send us in some suggestions and stuff like that, because we want to get that to y'all. We want to start working on that pretty soon and start adding more stuff to it and trying to get you guys some more content and things to watch.
Speaking of that, when we do these episodes on Mondays, they're all on YouTube. However, they are also on Spotify as videos, so you can watch that. We are in a beta with Spotify, and they are allowing us to upload
not only all of those things Mike just mentioned, but you can also find us on Instagram Live.
It's true.
As we go live for every Monday and sometimes Friday episodes, too. Sometimes we just leave it recording while we're doing it. So appreciate everybody that hangs out with us. We've got Super Azk. We got Arthur. We got E-Rock 414. We got Chantel, as always. Let's see if I can find some other names here. We've got Cropoli, C-R-O-P-L-I. We've got Lorena Cheese House.
Lorena Cheese House, really?
Yeah. Wow. Tyler Horner, 33.
Hey, can I give a shout out just real quick?
Yeah.
We have an intern. Her name is Sheridan, and she's very much into music. She's a musician. She's going to help us develop some musical content here. But she is playing, if you're in the Waco area, there's a place called The Backyard. Next Sunday, which would be what date? Today is the 14th, so it'd be the 21st. She is playing at 1 o'clock and at 6 o'clock at The Backyard. Boy, if people could show up there just because of this, that would thrill her heart.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
She's a cool girl.
If you're in town and
please go to The Backyard,
Waco,
at either 1 or 6.
The Backyard Bar and Grill.
Support the hell out of Sheridan, because she's a good person. Okay, and then so we talked about Spotify, we talked about Patreon. You want to tell them where else they can find us?
Yeah, you can find us at bwaaakoth.com, or you could go to roguemedianetwork.com/bwaaakoth.
All right, guys, that is it for Monday, Season 5, Episode 17, It's Not Easy Being Green. Thank you again for being here.
We appreciate that so much, more than you know.
Yeah,
so thank y'all again.
It is. It's a big deal. We are currently either number two or number three on the network behind all the sports content, and that's no small thing, and that's all due to you guys, and we really appreciate it.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Y'all are killing it for our downloads and stuff like that.
Doing great.
Yeah, we're number two. Yeah.
Doing okay. All right, guys. We will see you again on Friday, or at least talk to you on Friday.
Yep. And Wimatanye.
Wimatanye indeed.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.